Well, amen. God's good, isn't he?
Amen.
I tell you what, I appreciate the testimonies. I remember the night I got saved, May the 30th, 1984. Lost and undone without God, an 18-year-old boy. Thought everything was all right. Thought everything was okay, and the Lord began to deal with my heart. Showed me that I was lost and undone without him. And went to church that night. And it was on a Wednesday night, Brother Mac Phillips doing the preaching. And after the service, I couldn't tell you one word that he said. God was already eating my lunch. He's already showed me that I was lost and undone without him. And after the service, I told the man of God, I said, Brother Mac, I'm lost. I need to be saved. He said, son, God show you this. I said, yes, sir, without a doubt. If I were to die, I'd go to hell. He said, well, son, just call on him. He'll save you. I said, Brother Mac, I've been calling on him all day. He won't save me. And I said, see, I didn't have a problem believing that he could save. I just didn't believe he would because I knew me. I knew how wicked I was. And Brother Mac, he told me, he said, son, God's not like that. He don't deal with your heart and then turn away when you call out to him. And I tell you, that's all I needed to hear. Son, I fell down on my knees, asked God to save me that night. And I tell you, nothing's been the same since. And boy, I had a shouting fit. I went outside. I tried to jump up on the church building. Couldn't make it. I almost got there, though. But the Lord saved me. And I appreciate what he's done for me in my life. And thank God for his goodness. Well, I thank God for Unity Baptist Church. This is where I stole my wife from. I got my wife from here. And appreciate this church. Appreciate Brother Owens and appreciate the opportunity to stand tonight. He could have got somebody much better than I am tonight that could have opened up. Yeah, but I appreciate the opportunity, brother, and hope and pray that the Lord will use us tonight. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. I pray about every message. I don't want to stand and preach something that God doesn't want. I tried to preach something else. God wouldn't let me. Kept bringing me back here. So I'm going to try to obey the Lord tonight. If you would, if you're able tonight, I'd ask you to stand in honor of reading God's Word. I want to begin to read in verse number 1. At verse number 1, Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 1. The Bible said, and seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I'm interested in verse number 6 where the Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Father, again, we love you. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the privilege to stand tonight. But, oh, dear God, I beg, I plead, I pray tonight that you might help us. Lord, I desire not to stand alone. But, Lord, I pray, Father, that you might preach through us, use us tonight. Lord, I pray, God, that he, the Holy Ghost, might walk in our midst tonight. Lord, if there be one here, Lord, that's never truly been saved, Of course, God, we do pray, Father, that you might deal with that heart, show them the need of salvation. But Lord, we need something. We that are saved, Lord, I pray, God, that you might help us. Give us something from thy word as well. Lord, there may be someone here that's cold and indifferent. Lord, they're standing afar off. Lord, would you slip your arms around about them? Let them know that you still care for them, love them. Lord, that fellowship might be renewed tonight. Now, Lord, I pray, God, that you might have your will and way done here tonight. In Jesus' name, we ask it all. Amen and amen. Is this my water? On April the 14th, 1846, there was 31 people left Springville, Illinois, heading west toward California to start a new life. George and Jacob Donner, with a businessman by the name of James Reed, organized the trip. George Donner was voted to be the leader of the trip. Within a month, they had reached Independence, Missouri, and there on May the 12th, they became part of a main wagon train heading west. The group made good time. They got to Fort Laramie in Wyoming on July the 20th, 1846. And the wagon train, they separated. Most of the wagon train went southeastward toward Idaho using the well-known Oregon Trail to complete their journey to California. But 87 people chose to head southwest. They took 23 wagons with ox pulling them. They had cattle, they had horses, they had dogs, they had donkeys, all kinds of animals. But the Donner and Reed, they had heard of a shortcut to take off about 300 miles of the trail. They were warned in Fort Laramie not to take the shortcut, that it wasn't reliable. But a man by the name of Lansford Hastings told them that it was a good trip and that he had taken that shortcut. But the thing is, it had never been taken by a wagon. It was only by horseback. And on July the 31st, the Donner Party entered Hastings Cutoff. The cutoff, my friend, wasn't anything like Hastings had said it was. They had to clear trees. They had to make their way through the wilderness, if you will. But also it led through the Great Salt Lakes Desert in Utah. Hastings had said that it would only take 2 days to cross the desert. It took more than 6 days. They lost 32 of their oxen. They lost most of their cattle. Most of their animals died. They were forced to abandon many of their wagons. And they almost died there in the desert. But finally, they made it to the Sierra Mountains of Nevada in early November. On November the 31st, they became trapped by early snowstorm. In one night, it had snowed 5 feet. And after that, they was forced to make makeshift cabins and all of that. And they endured storm after storm after storm. And within weeks, they had eaten all their food, including all the animals that they could find. Many of the animals were buried. They couldn't find them by the snow. 39, when the rescuers found them, 39 out of the 87 had died of starvation. The rescuers said, before they even reached the camp, they found mutilated and carved up bodies. The survivors had eaten the bodies of the dead. They said that they would label the bodies so that they wouldn't eat their kinfolk. I tell you, that's a sad story. And we would say today, listen, there's no way that I'd eat the flesh of another man. There's no way. And listen, hunger will cause you to do things that you wouldn't normally think that you would do. But I can say this, that I've never been that hungry that I thought that I could eat the flesh of a human being. I remember when my boys were growing up, my wife and I have four boys. And when they were coming up, I remember they had come in the house after playing outside or something. They'd make a statement like this, and probably all of us have made this statement. Said, boy, I'm starving to death. I'm starving. Man, I could eat a horse. Mama would say, well, there's some leftovers in the refrigerator. Oh, I don't want that. Well, I can fix you a bologna sandwich. Well, I don't want that. You know what the problem was? They wasn't hungry enough. Listen, when a person gets hungry, my friend, they'll eat whatever's offered. I want to ask a question tonight for all of us. Are you hungry? Are you hungry? In Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 6, the Lord said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Listen, are you hungry? I'll say this, are we hungry tonight? Are we hungry after righteousness? In other words, listen, do we have a desire to be righteous? Do we have a desire to be holy? Do we have a desire, my friend, to live a godly life? We make every excuse in the world why we can't be holy today. We blame everything else. Or everything that we can. My friend, why we can't be holy. Why we can't be righteous today. And that's what I want to deal with tonight for just a little while. I won't be long. Let me give you a couple of things tonight. First of all, we blame time. Have you ever heard this? I just don't have enough time. There's not enough preacher. I can't seem to find enough time to read my Bible. I can't find enough time to pray. I can't find enough time to do my devotions. You have misunderstood the question, friend. I didn't ask about your time. I asked, are you hungry tonight? The question tonight is, are you hungry? Listen, time is not the issue. A lack of the appetite is the issue. Listen, when you haven't eaten in a while, my friend, your stomach begins to growl. Listen, it shows up in your choices. Hungry people, listen, they don't wait for food to happen, friend. When you're hungry, listen, you'll adjust your life and you'll make time to eat. Oh, listen, God wants us to be holy. He wants to have a relationship with us. And my friend, listen, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 15, He said, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So listen, God wants you and I to be holy. But listen, we're hungry for everything else in the world. Amen. Listen, we find time to go hunting and fishing. And listen, there's nobody that likes fishing more than I do. I love going fishing. Listen, we find time to play ball or go watch the ball game. We find time to go shopping. We find time for whatever we want to do. We find time to do it. Listen, but we can't find time to spend time with the Lord, the one that saved us by His marvelous grace. My friend, what a shame that is. Listen, no. My friend, time's not the issue. The issue is we're just not hungry. We're not hungry for righteousness. What about this? And listen, in the time that we live, listen, you can't live a holy life. Boy, I've heard that. I was talking to a fella some time ago. Man, he was cussing up a storm. He says, he said, oh, it's where I work. It's where my environment. He said, you can't live a holy life today. Hey, listen, it's all in what you want to do. Listen, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, he says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Listen, the choice is mine and yours, whether we want to be holy or not. Listen, we blame time for why we can't be holy. Let me give you another one. Sometimes we blame teaching. The teaching. Listen, I'm just not getting anything out there at the preacher down at the church. I'm just not getting fed. Have you ever heard that? Listen, again, friend, I didn't ask about the preaching or the teaching. The question tonight is, are you hungry? Are you hungry? Listen, I've heard people make this statement, said I'm just not getting fed at the church. And listen, I'm assuming that they mean that they're not getting enough, or maybe they're not feeling the presence of God or whatever it is. Let me just say this from the get-go. It is not your pastor's responsibility to make you holy or righteous. It is not his responsibility, my friend, to make you live a holy life. It is our responsibility, however, to feed the flock. And we see that in Acts chapter number 20, verse number 28. He says, to feed the church of God, which has been purchased with his own blood. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse or 5, verse number 2 says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Listen, the pastor has his responsibility in feeding. Listen, but whatever God gives the man of God preaches it to the people. And listen, you have a responsibility to take in what he preaches. Amen. But people say, listen, it's the preacher. But if the truth be told, they're a lot like my children were when they was going up. It's not so much that they don't like, they just don't like the menu. Right. Yeah. They don't like what's on the table. They don't like what God's placed on the table. Listen, they're not hungry enough. You know who don't like what is on the table when it's spread? I'll tell you, the one that's not hungry. The one that's out in the world, my friend, doing his own thing. The one that that wants to pick and choose how they're to worship. And boy, we can get on that, and I don't have time, but listen, this crowd, the same people that will say, listen, preacher, I'm just not getting anything down there at the church. The next thing you know, they're going to another church where they've blacked out the ceilings, got a spotlight on the stage, got a band singing in the choir and everything else. My friend, listen, they just don't like the menu down at the house of God. They want to pick and choose what they want to hear. And they've created a God in their mind that accepts that stuff today. Come on now. No, listen, the teaching's not the problem. The problem is we're just not hungry enough. So we blame the teachers, or we blame time and the teachers. Let me give you another. We blame terrible people also. Preacher, you just don't know who I work with. Man, I'm rubbing shoulders with some of the meanest crowd and the bad crowd, and it rubs off. Or what about this? And well, preacher, you don't have to live with who I got to live with. Uh-huh. Listen, if you think that I ask about the terrible people that's in your life, I didn't. I'm asking you, are you hungry tonight? Listen, I've never heard of anyone being able to stop anyone else from eating because they are a terrible person, no matter how bad they are. I thought about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, listen, he wasn't going to let anybody deter him seeing the Lord. My friend, he done whatever he had to, my friend, to see the Lord. And my friend, when he did, it changed his life. Friend, it changed his life. He never was the same. And I'll say this, if we'll get hungry enough, if we'll quit blaming the people around us for not being godly and living right, then my friend, God will change our life as well. Listen, the issue tonight is not the people that we're around. It's not who we're living with or anything else, my friend. It is the fact that we're just not hungry enough. I'm moving on. I'm trying to be quick, Brother Brock. I want you to preach. Let me give you another one. Not only that, but we also blame being tired. Boy, I'm just too tired. Again, you've misunderstood the question. I didn't ask if you was tired. I'm asking tonight, are you hungry? Are you hungry for righteousness? Listen, I've never seen anyone that was truly hungry too tired to eat. Now, I have seen people that was too weak to eat. But I've never seen anybody, my friend, that is too tired to eat. Preacher, I just can't. I'm too tired. I can't read my Bible. I'm too tired. I can't pray. I can't take time. Preacher, I'm too tired. I can't go to church. But I'm not too tired to go to work the next morning. I'm too tired to go to revival. You can put whatever you want to there. Listen again, the issue's not being tired. The issue, my friend, is not being hungry enough. Not being hungry for righteousness. Listen, that's the issue. A person that is truly hungry, my friend, don't have a problem asking for food. That's where our prayer. Boy, I tell you, when we talk to the Lord, we get down on our knees and we begin to pray. Lord, I need you. I need something from you, Lord. Lord, would you feed me? Would you give me something? Lord, I can't make it without you. I tell you something else that a hungry man doesn't have. Listen, he doesn't have a problem searching for food either. I can imagine those people back in 1846, they searched all around. They tried to find what they could to eat and all of that. And listen, if we are hungry for righteousness, then we won't have a problem getting in this old book and begin to search out the Scriptures and asking God to feed us and give us exactly what we need. Brother Ernest, there's been times that I needed to get in the book just to find direction and get the Lord's mind on a certain situation or whatever it may be. And listen, God feeds me. There's something else also, my friend. Listen, somebody that's hungry, listen, they won't have a problem coming to the table when it's spread. Listen, we spread the table 3 times a week at our church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. My friend, listen, if we're hungry enough, we'll make it every time. We'll make it every time. Why? Because we want to feed. We want to eat from the table of God. And listen, every time that we come, God has something for us. Listen, I'm closing. But I'm asking tonight, are you hungry? Are you hungry? Listen, if you're not, then I'd come to an old-fashioned altar and ask God to help me. Give me a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. Listen, I guarantee you He will if we're sincere. Let's pray. Father, again, we love You. Oh, dear God, I thank You for the thought. Lord, I needed it just as much as anybody else. Lord, I pray, God, that You'd give us that hunger and thirst. Lord, help us, Lord, to have a desire to live for You, be righteous and holy, Lord, as You desire that we be. Lord, we thank You again for helping us. Be with the remainder of the service. Lord, ask God that You'd bless Brother Brock now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.